How is everyone doing? This is Sit Down with Sniper, episode 31. And before we hop into it, I did just want to take a quick second to say those that knew, I've been a little down and out. When I went to NFT NYC, I did end up in the hospital, unfortunately, but everything is smooth now. We're back to the episodes. We're back to the podcast, back to NFTs. But I did want to take a quick second to tell everybody, thank you from the bottom of my heart. A lot of people reached out to me, a lot of friends, a lot of people that I didn't even know reached out to me with very kind words. And I just want to say that it meant the absolute world to me. But I won't harp on that long. I just want to tell everybody thank you. But today we have a very amazing guest. We have a beautiful artist in this space who goes by Arena. How are you doing?
Hi, how are you?
Doing good, doing good. I've been very, very anxious to do this episode. I've seen your art around Twitter a lot. Especially over the last, I'd say, month and a half for me personally. And I don't follow a lot of people, so that really says a lot. So whoever has been retweeting and sharing you, I definitely saw it. I followed you. And now we're here. So we're going to dive a little bit into your art, what you've done, and kind of what got you here. So, but just to start off, how's your day been?
Good, good. It's so good to hear from you. I'm glad you're doing better. It's just so nice to hear from you again.
No, thank you. Thank you. It's been a little rough, but we're finally back. And this was the episode that I had planned before I got injured. So it's a little time in the making, but we're finally here. We're going to dive into some deep art. So just to get started, when did you originally start becoming an artist, transitioning from your model days, which we'll talk about later on down the line?
When I was four, actually, my mother sent me to a music school. I was going to a regular school. And then after hours, after like 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock, I would go to my music school. So I started playing piano very, very early. So I was in this type of arts since a baby age. But then actually painting, I started very late. I think I started at when I was 18, and now I'm 25. So it's, what? Almost 8 years, I think. 8 years ago, yeah.
So have you ever thought about doing anything with the piano in your NFTs, or have you done it already?
I have not done it yet. I want to. I'm waiting for the right time, I guess, let's say that. Because I did write some music before, a little bit. I wrote some piano songs, but then I also wrote the songs that I was singing. So doing music NFTs is 100% down the line in the future. I just don't want to rush into this. I want to present it in a proper way and do it in the most professional, the most beautiful way possible. And to me right now, I already felt in the past year a little bit overwhelmed with all the new mediums I discovered because of NFTs. I started studying 3D art. Then I shifted a little bit to digital art, creating and like Procreate on iPad and stuff like that. I felt like I'm dividing my time right now equally between physical canvases and digital art. So creating music NFTs was always in the back of my head, but I think I should just conquer my digital art skill better for now, and then later do the music stuff.
No, I mean, I think that's the best way to handle it, me personally. You're going at your own pace. You're not trying to dive right into the music NFTs just because you know how to play the piano. So personally, I respect that. I'm looking at your art right now, and I've seen it, like I said, tons. Your physical pieces are beautiful. Did you start doing physical pieces before anything, and have you always had this style?
So I started to paint out of nowhere. Actually, it was very funny because I never ever did any art as like painting or drawing. I didn't think I have any talent for that because I couldn't paint realistic paintings. And for some reason, I do not know why, I thought if you don't really paint well realism, this is it. Like, you're not really an artist growing up. I don't know why it was in my head. So one day, me and my friend, she actually such a talented artist, and she wanted to go to an art supply store to buy some canvases. And I was just like, okay, I will walk with you. And she brought me there, and I just bought a canvas and a bunch of oil paints randomly. And funny enough, I brought it home, and like on a bigger canvas, I was like, wow, that I can do. Because before that, I never tried painting. I just was drawing, and it's not for me at all. So when I tried this physical canvas, I never stopped for a day. I was painting nonstop. And funny thing is, she never ended up using her like canvases that she bought in the store. Like that was her point when she stopped painting. And I'm always telling her how like, wow, you brought me there, and you basically by doing that just created an entire new world for me. And I was just painting home. As I said, there was no pressure. I did not intend to sell or become an artist. Nobody really knew that I was doing it. And I was, at the time, I was in China already, and I was studying Chinese in university. And I don't know, I guess because I had so much time on my head, I was very like staying home majority of the time, didn't really hang out with people much. And I was all this loneliness that I felt, I just sat there and I painted. And at some point it got that the entire apartment was just filled with canvases.
Oh, yeah, this is crazy.
Yeah. And I did not realize that, like, wow, it's been already like a couple of years and I haven't stopped painting, and I do it every day. And I guess because I never felt this pressure that many artists feel who go to school to like, oh, you need to develop your style, you need to do that, you need to do this, you need to know how to do this and that. I guess because I skipped this step and I just learned how to follow like the instinct. I don't even know how to explain it. And that just helped me develop my own style. And I got so blessed without realizing it that I have this talent. I basically can see characters on any surface. So if I stare at a blank canvas, for example, or at wall, I can see little shapes in it that come out as little humans or like little aliens. So my only job is to kind of zoom in into that because they're so, so tiny. I don't know why. So I just kind of make them bigger and I put them on the canvas. And now with digital art, it's a little bit easier because in the Procreate, you can kind of like zoom out in the canvas and you do, I just outline my tiny thing and then you zoom in and it's super, super easy. But in the canvas, I kind of had to like scale it. And I didn't realize that I had this infinite fountain of ideas because I just see things inside the canvas and I just kind of outline them and put the colors, and it's so seamless and it's so easy and it just comes naturally. So yeah, that was been doing crazy.
No, this is amazing because not only did your friend take you to the store, well, you were like, yeah, you know, I'll go with you. You go to the store and then come to find out she just stops painting and you become this whole artist. And that's just, I mean, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. Not only that, your physical pieces, these aren't small by any means. Like these aren't small canvases. So those that don't know Arena, I'll definitely link her work whenever I drop this episode. But these are very large canvases. Like these aren't like just a couple swipes and you're done. Like they're pretty large. And not only that, I wanted to ask, so you were in China, you were feeling a little lonely and stuff. You would start drawing, you'd start gathering all these pieces that you've made. What would make you transition, or who would make you transition into NFTs? Like what was the first, I guess, exposure of NFTs for you?
Well, I'm very, very, very open-minded and easygoing with things like that. I had my art career slowly, slowly building while I was in China and Shanghai, and I had my solo exhibitions going. And then one day I just randomly woke up. I was like, okay, I want to go back to the States. And I just moved back to New York and I knew nobody. And I just kind of decided that's going to be my base now. And It was similar thing with NFTs. It's sometimes you're on this wave and you find something new. And like out of all the other new things that you find, you just know that this is it. And at the time, you just, it's like gets you all and you get kind of obsessed with it. That was me, I guess, for the first year with the Web3 thingy. In that case, I think it was after pandemic, when pandemic just started, I got really, really heavily into stocks. Started studying it and trying to understand how it all works. And there was some phone app somebody created. It's like a Twitter, but only for stocks tweets. So it was very funny. It was a very tiny app. It was, I think it was only like 100 people there or so at the time. I don't know where is it now. And somebody on that stocks app mentioned Clubhouse. And I was like, oh, okay. And they were kind enough to give an invite. And in Clubhouse, there was an NFT room. But actually, that wasn't the first time when I heard about NFTs, because that happened, I think, in like late March of 2021, late February 2021. But first time I heard about NFTs from like a friend that I see very rarely. He mentioned that something like NFT exists and you should like Google it. And I was like, or like Nifty Gateway, Google it. And I went on Nifty Gateway for maybe like 10 minutes, very, very briefly. Couldn't understand how do I register, because I did not realize you need to do an like application. So when I didn't see like a login button or something like that, I was like, eh. And for some reason, I didn't at the time felt like diving deep into that, which is now I'm like, oh, you still should have just like put a little couple more Googles into that, just like a couple more. I was a little overwhelmed with my commission paintings at the time, so I was painting and in my like painting wave. So yeah, that was the first time I heard about it, and then I completely like forgot, didn't really study or went into that. And then in March in the Clubhouse there was a room, and in that room people were actually explaining it was NFT.tips, and they were explaining so well how to create a MetaMask. So you need to create a MetaMask, then as an artist you have like OpenSea, you have Rarible at the time, like Foundation. And when I went to Rarible, that was the first thing. It was really seemed easy, and like there was step by step, and I understood really well how to mint there. I don't know why. And yeah, and then it slowly took off, and the Clubhouse helped so much. I feel like they helped to so many people get onboarded, and it just clicked. And I really like community in the summer, like last year's summer. It was so nice. It wasn't as overwhelming as it is right now with all the like scams and rugs and blah, blah, blah. You have to filter through so harshly right now, versus then it was slowly escalated to like Twitter spaces, and you just enjoy and chat with friends and learn new things.
It was a lot different back then. Now you have to navigate it with so much caution, and it's really crazy how many scammers are out there. So
100%.
it's been wild now, but I definitely miss the old days. I wish they would come back, but I don't think that'll happen anytime soon with the amount of money that's been put into this space. And before we go deeper into your NFTs, because I'm going to talk about where you're at now. You know, you've done some pretty great things since becoming an artist, but I know in your profile on Twitter, I got to dive in. You know, you collaborated with people like L'Oreal. You said Red. I've seen you collaborate with Tom. Are all of them collaborations NFTs, or are some of them your personal work that you've done before NFTs? Is there any way you could give us a quick rundown of maybe what you've did?
So those are for like last year that I did with NFTs. Before that, I did a like there's a makeup brand called Pandao. I hope I pronounce it correctly, because that's like one of the Asian brands Oh my God, now I feel so bad if I pronounce it wrong.
You're fine.
Anyhow, there is like a makeup brand that I did their boxing for them. They had this line. It was so cool. I was so excited to see. I still keep these boxes. It's been like a couple of years already. But for their, I think, primers, they had three different designs and my painting were on it. And it was such a cool experience because at the time, I just painted it on canvas and then boom, it's on the makeup brand and it's huge. It was, yeah, that was super fun experience. And then what else? I did some paintings for hotels. They're also in China. I think my majority of the collaborations actually with like more of American brands started with NFTs for me.
So did you
it was just about the time.
Did you start with Tom? So I've seen that, and this is what made me ask. So I've seen you do things with Tom, but I've also seen that you had your art in Times Square.
Yeah.
So I was going to see if you could talk us through what it was like from once being, you know, in China, being in your room, making all these pieces to now seeing yourself working with Time and seeing your pieces in Times Square in New York. What was that like for you?
It's surreal, but at the same time, I don't even, sometimes I feel bad about like saying stuff like that, but I'm so confident in my art. Like out of all of the things, sometimes I have not enough confidence in myself, but I'm always confident in my art. So seeing things like that slowly happen, to me, is that finally more people can see these pieces. That was more of that. And it's like, wow, this is so elevating and it's so inspiring. And these paintings, they deserve to be seen. So it was like a very, very proud moment. And there is also, I don't know, it felt very natural that they're seen. I'm very, very happy. I feel like maybe at some point you start manifesting these things into your life when you're all the time taking your steps and you're working and you're constantly, constantly, constantly working on something. Like when it's your whole thing and you're taking all these steps and you believe in it, I feel like eventually luck gonna come your way and you just need to be prepared to kind of, again, ride this wave. But NFTs and this whole community enabled so many wonderful things to so many artists who, it's so inspiring.
No, I mean, you make a good point. I mean, you look at people like yourself, you look at people like Klon from Cool Catch, you know, these are artists who, you know, he's posted pictures of 2015. He was, you know, selling art out of a tent. And now years later, he is in Times Square as well and doing events in New York. So it's super cool to see stuff like that. And NFTs have helped a lot of people. And I think there's a fine line between cocky and confident. And you're definitely confident in your work. And there's nothing wrong with that, you know, and that's how it should be. You know, you've put a lot of effort into it. You've put a lot of, you know, passion into it. So whenever you do see something in Times Square, it's like, as crazy as it sounds, it's like, yeah, I feel like I deserve that because of how much I've put in and how long I've been doing this and just what it means to me. So I'm glad to hear and glad to see that you've been able to get your pieces in places like that, because I'm a big fan of them. And personally, I need to get one. But I know that also in your bio, it says pairing NFTs with physical paintings. So do all of your NFTs also come with the corresponding physical painting? Is that just a certain series that does that? I was wondering if you could speak on that as well.
No, not all of them. So last year I created Man Man Life collection, and that means taking your time, like going slowly, step by step. So this collection, I've decided to just put all of the physical paintings that I ever created, and some of them were like lost, some of them donated, some of them already been collected. And it's just they're all over the place. And I thought to myself, I have the photographs of them professionally taking, and I would love them to be saved on blockchain forever. Like, if something happens to me tomorrow, I don't have like archives of my work. So people don't really like can view them in order. And I just thought that it would be wonderful to mint them. And at the time I minted them, and in Manmalay's collection, pieces up to number, I think 151, they are just NFTs. And from 151 and up right now, every single piece that I mint, they're pairing NFT and the physical. And I try to, in the description, write it very clearly that like, if you collect from me, from 151, that's only when you get the physical. And then on the secondary sales, I cannot promise that the owner will want to like let go of the physical. And because I know with the canvas paintings, majority of time, they just stay in your home and people don't really resell them much, unless it's not as fast with as like an NFTs, for example. You see flipping happening every day. So I'm still curious how that's gonna go. And sometimes now I think maybe I should have created a completely separate collection where it's only NFT and physical pairings, and not like, oh, there was like all of my canvas paintings. But I still think it's kind of cool that they are going to be all together there. And I said I wanted to be this collection to be 2,222 pieces. So it's going to approximately take like 7-8 years to complete this collection. And I'm just wondering, maybe in the 7 years, they're going to look back at it and be like, oh, that was pretty cool. Or wow, that was really dumb. So we'll see.
I definitely think they'll look back and think it's cool, especially for me, especially someone who loves physical art and has got physical art from different artists like F. Dot, Vinnie Hager, and some others. I personally like investing into artists that have a plan on being here for the long haul. Whenever I know someone has a 5-10 even longer year plan, it makes me confident in buying what I do, and knowing that they have a past, like you telling me that you were doing art before NFTs. You was genuinely having a house full of just canvases, just because you were painting every day and you were like, whoa, I got a lot of canvases in here. That is the type of stuff that I like to invest in, or I like to purchase, just because it's like, yo, you like doing art because you like doing art. You were never really brought to this because of the money aspect. Like you said, you weren't even really selling all the pieces at first. So me personally, I love it, and I'm still mad that I don't have a piece. I'm gonna have to try to go scoop one up somewhere. But whenever you do these pieces, what's your favorite? Is your favorite still on a canvas? Do you like doing digital art more now? Like, what would you say is your favorite medium now that you've done a couple?
Well, it's so different, especially because I've been painting on canvas for so many years already, and I did all of this. And so with canvases too, I love creating exhibitions. I love doing like solo shows and creating a room with like emerging experience for people. So that was a huge thing for me, like part of almost like extensions of my paintings. They were like the rooms that I created for them, so people can see. I still haven't done it in New York. So I think maybe sometime down the line, but it's just so much work. So that, and then with the digital art, I've only been doing it for what, like less than a year now. And it's new and exciting, and it's so much to learn. So I think I equally love it, and the styles are just so different. So I can't really, and the feeling is different. It's the same when I go to NFT galleries, and it's just, I see this piece on the TV screen and I think, wow, it's so cool. And there is one feeling towards this. But then when I see a physical canvas painting, it's a whole different feeling when you see all these bumps and all these little imperfections. And I don't know, I love them both so much. I also cannot wait when technology gets to the level where you like paint, but then your character can walk out of you as some sort of hologram. I'm so waiting for it.
Oh, I'm sure with AR, there's going to be a lot of things coming up. And speaking of coming up, I'm really curious of what you have coming up. Is there anything special that you're working on maybe you could share? Is there also is there anyone that you're wanting to work with in this space? I know a lot of artists are busy, especially whenever they're painting and stuff, so they might not have time to always reach out or do the things they want to do. But I'm very curious, you know, what's up next for you? And is there anyone that you've been wanting to get around to working with?
Right now, I just finished painting a second piece for the project called We're All Going to Die. They commissioned me for two paintings, and I haven't painted on a canvas in a while, so them kind of bringing it back for me was pretty cool. And the cool part about it, I wanted to burn a painting in a long time. I thought I wanted to experience this feeling and just wanted to see how does it feel to let it go like this completely. And their whole aesthetic and their brand, I think it's very ma matching to burn a painting. So I offered them to, oh, let's do a huge fire and like let it burn. So we're gonna do that. That was so exciting. About the things, I think my biggest goal as an artist in life right now, I want to send my artwork in space. And I think that's a biggest project that I'm working on every day, trying to find the way how I'm gonna do it. And what else? Collabing with people, I don't know yet. I just did so many like wonderful collabs recently and I feel so overwhelmed. So I don't even know. It's so many people to, they're so, I'm like scrolling every day and I see at least 10 new super talented artists and I look at them and I'm like, wow, you're so amazing. Wow. And it's, I can't really pick one sniper. It's so many.
Okay, so this is actually interesting because We're All Gonna Die is a very, very interesting project. I don't own one, but definitely have respect for the acts and stunts that they pull off. You know, they like to burn stuff. So I'm very curious to see what you're gonna make. And there's a couple things. So before I go back to the Wag Die, it's funny that you say send something to space because I don't know if you know who Mike Mongo is, but he's someone in the space. He is very intelligent. He was just on a Spaces yesterday with Keith Grossman, myself, and some other people. So and he loves Time Magazine and Keith. So but he is an astronaut, and he was talking about sending a coup to space. But the thing is, you could probably talk to him and Keith and somehow get a piece of work in space. I'm very confident that he could probably talk, and of course I don't want to guarantee anything because me and him aren't like super close or anything, but he's a very great guy. And yeah, a lot of people in the space would probably agree with that. I would speak with him, and I can show you his Twitter after this. But with the Wagdai stuff, how long does it take you to make a physical piece usually? Because I'm assuming you would make a new piece for the Wag Dye burning, but if you didn't, how long does it take just for a piece in general to make on a physical canvas?
It's all depends on what type of I said wave so many times during our call, but again, what type of wave I am, because sometimes I'll be so productive. This is insane. When I just moved to New York City, it inspired me so much, and I was doing nothing else but focusing on painting, and I was living through it. It was, and also so many commissions were coming my way. I painted 70 paintings. Some of them were super big in 3 months. I'm like now looking back at it, 70 huge canvases. How did I do it? I don't know. Sometimes I would paint like two a day. It was insane. So I think it was the most productive time I ever had in my life so far. Hopefully one day. But in general, it's again depends because in the last 6 months I went through a burnout and I did not want to do canvas paintings and I kind of lost a little bit with the purpose of I felt like it was more of a routine, but in an healthy way to paint. So I was just focusing on my digital art. So that was that. So some paintings, when I was painting during that period, took me months to complete because of that. It was very just stand, and my boyfriend would ask, when are you going to finish it? It's been like 3 months. And he's like, I just want to know how it's going to look like. I wonder. But to me, in my head, I already see a completed version of this painting. So I know how it's going to look like. I just kind of don't want to deal with it. So that sometimes you go through this. But then one guy, actually, they contacted me when it was my, I think, third or fourth day, when I got out of a burnout finally, and I felt healed and I felt productive. And I remember texting him and I was saying, wow, you got me in such a right time. I'm just gonna do it probably like in 2 weeks. I think I finished a little bit over 2 weeks. I finished two paintings for them, and they're also pretty large canvases. But it was very good, healthy, and I was so, so happy to paint something different. That sometimes you get these commissions as an artist, and to me, I enjoy working with commissions because they push my boundaries a little further. Because, for example, like for the second painting, part of it was a frog. I don't think I ever painted a frog before. So it was so much fun to have some kind of frame of work. And yeah, it was incredible.
Okay.
I feel like,
go ahead.
I feel like as an artist, sometimes I have like too much of a freedom. And because I have so many different options and I see so many different characters, it's a little bit overwhelming. So sometimes with commissions, when I get this little frame of, oh, at least I get like a picture of a person and I have their music I can meditate on and like connect with their personality and reflect it on the canvas, like reflect them, not me, it brings completely elevating result. I love my commissions.
So I know that you're probably curious as well, but I have to know, because I asked this whole question because I know that you're probably going to, well, you've already made it. So I know that they're probably amazing. I don't know if you've shared them already on Twitter. So if you have, I apologize, but the two pieces that you made for Wagda, I know that you put in a lot of work into them. Like you said, you even get to test your boundaries, do things you've never done. So what do you think it's going to feel like to actually burn one of these, like to actually have to put fire to it and be like, wow, that was a lot of new stuff that I've done. And now it's just gone forever. How do you think that's going to go for you?
Even listening to you talk about it, it makes me smile. I think it's going to be very freeing. Even, I don't know how it's going to feel in the process, probably in the process. I'm one of those people who do not realize what happened until like time goes by. Like I would paint something and then I don't realize how much meaning in it up until like in a year. It's the same actually when you asked me earlier about Times Square and collaborating with Times, and I was like, it's cool. But I think in a year, it's going to hit me really hard because I'm a little flow with that. So I think same with the burning. I think in the moment I'm gonna just do it and I'm gonna have fun with it, but not truly fully feel it. And I think in a little while it's gonna hit me. But while painting it, the thought of it being just like, I was painting it and I was like, wow, I'm painting it and it's going to be destroyed. I'm painting it for no reason, knowingly that I'm gonna put it all in a fire. And I'm like, this is the whole meaning of our life, and nothing actually makes sense. And you just kind of do stuff, but then it all goes away. And you just hope that this experience is going to help somebody else, either inspire mostly, or in any way helping other person. That's the purpose of your life. And that was my thought process, that it's all like a huge circle and we're just recycling. And it's like a phoenix, you know, you burn it physical, but then all the feelings, new feelings that it's brought to me, and maybe hopefully to some other artists who are going to see this video, or to any viewer, it's going to inspire this person, I hope, to let go of their things, because it can be anything. Yeah, I actually tried. So for my first solo exhibition, I wanted to burn a piece, I just remembered, but it was in a gallery, so they didn't allow me to do that. And instead, I cut a painting. It was my favorite piece. And I was like, oh, we need to let go. And for the opening, people wrote down things that they were like holding them back, they felt like. And they put it in a basket and were like, tore it apart. And some pieces, I actually, with the permission of these people, I kind of pinned it in a gallery wall. And then at the end of the exhibition, I tore them apart and just like let it go. But this thought of destroying your favorite creation and letting it go. But the different thing with cutting it that time, I did not know at the time when I was painting that I'm going to cut this painting and completely destroy, versus this time while I was painting it, with every stroke, I knew that this piece is going to be gone. And it was so freeing. And I think it helped me better create, because nothing was holding me. I'm like, oh, it's going to get destroyed. Anyways, haha. And I kept on going. And the entire time I was just smiling. I was so happy. So yeah.
I really like the fact that the whole time you thought about it. And even with the every brushstroke, knowing that it's going to be destroyed, you still put a lot of effort into it. It wasn't just like, okay, oh, yeah. I'm just going to treat this like, it's okay. It's going to get burned anyways. Like, you still went hard. You still gave it, you know, you still spent a lot of time on it. You know, you said paintings in 2 weeks. So, I mean, the fact that that shows a lot to me personally, just that you genuinely love what you do. And the fact that you were able to do it in a way where it was happy to you. And I think it will be a happy moment in the process. And even whenever you look back, you'll still be happy with it, because it'll symbolize like a moment in time, especially with wherever you go in the future, wherever NFTs go, you'll always be able to look back and be like, I remember that moment. It was a fun time. First time I got to do something like that, especially because you've been wanting to. So I love that. I love hearing that. I'm going to transition into the second part of the podcast. Since we've learned so much about you, I do 5 questions for everyone. They're usually the same on every single episode. It's been a while, so some of these questions might be a little outdated, but hopefully they're not too crazy for you. I wanted to start off with number one, though. And some of these are, I guess, you can answer them NFT. You can answer them general life, however you want. But number one is, what is the most important thing to you?
Balance, I think. Balance, yes, with giving your love to other people, caring about people, taking care of them, giving them your time, with your work also, balance. Because same with taking care of your health, when something goes, you go sometimes too hard or too low, it's bringing it all kind of crumbles. But when you keep everything in balance and give to the world and open to receive also, magic things, I think, happens.
Okay. Out of all the people that have been on this podcast, I've actually never had someone say balance, and I really like that answer. It's something that I need to learn better with myself, because I'm always going so hard on Twitter and NFTs, and I need to balance out, just like taking breaks, being okay with, like, you know, yo, it's not everything has to come right at once. Yeah. So it's actually something I need to learn myself. So I like that answer, balance. Number two.
Same.
Is
me too.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I'm learning to be more, I guess, what would be the word? Just honest about what's going on. But yeah, balance. Number two would be, what is an obstacle that you have overcome that has helped you get to where you are today? Whether it be an artist or just in general life.
Obstacle. It's been so many, and I also don't view things as an obstacle. I view them as like a helping trampoline. And I
No,
guess that's why when you
you do
asked,
that
I don't
too.
even have anything. Yeah, I don't. Every day we have so many different obstacles, and some of them are like super deep and super hard, and some of them not. But even the smallest obstacle sometimes can completely change your life. So I have a blank space in my head right now with that question.
No, you're good. You're good. I actually like so what did you say? You don't call them obstacles, you call them what kind of trampolines?
I forgot what I said, but like something that's going to help you become a better person and like Now I'm trying to remember what I said, but it's like basically I don't treat anything as an obstacle. I treat it as something that's gonna help you in the future. So
No.
that's why I don't take it like seriously at all. And I just, because I also been lucky enough to, again, for example, don't have any major, for example, health issues. I think that I would really, really, really view differently, maybe. I don't know.
I can tell that you as a person, you seem more of a very humble person. You're a go with the flow type of person. You're willing to hear people out. That's what I've noticed. So I mean, we could say that, don't know. I guess we don't even have to do an obstacle. Just the fact that you treat everything in a positive manner says a lot about you.
We can say here, Ivan, for example. I don't know. I moved completely by myself to China when I was 18. Then I moved completely by myself to New York.
Oh,
And
damn.
so I was alone in both places and without any support. Yeah, and kind of build it up myself. So here's an obstacle, I guess. But
No,
it is
that's
not an obstacle
huge.
because because it's like brought to something more beautiful, and it's a challenge that creates something better in your life. So not an obstacle.
Yeah, no,
Never
but
mind.
that's still a positive though. That I mean, you could use it in a way. I'm sure we could find a way to twist and turn it and say that it was in some
Yeah.
way an obstacle, but that's a good one. Just because I know for me personally, it would have been a huge obstacle for me to move somewhere where I wasn't necessarily from. I'm not from China, I'm from Kentucky. So me having to
Yeah.
up and move to do something like that would definitely be a rough obstacle for me. But we can go to number three because number three is a lot easier. So whenever you go out, we could say a party, wherever, but whenever you go out and you're going to be gone from the house for a while, hanging out with friends, something like that, what are at least three necessities that you have to bring with you? And we won't count like a phone or a wallet, since like you always have to bring those. Do you ever bring anything extra? Like, do you always bring a camera? Do you always bring a paintbrush? Is there any necessities that you have to bring with you whenever you're going
Nope. I only
out?
bring my phone, and I don't even carry a wallet because my cards are in my phone, and like my ID, I probably should stop doing that. Well, and now I'm trying to get an Apple Watch just so I don't have to carry my phone outside, because I'm trying so hard, as I mentioned earlier, about the balance, and I'm, as you are, going in my head, and I'm very addicted to social media, and I'm trying to fight this addiction, and I'm trying to be let myself be bored, because through that boredom comes creativity. And I want to get this wallet or watch just so I can focus on little things that you walk on the street and you hear a subway or like you see people. Because when I have my phone, I just kind of listen to music, and you're not focused on outside world as much as you should be, because it's so many wonderful things and beautiful people around us that can inspire, and instead we're just on the phone. So no, I bring nothing. Sometimes I like bags. So when I want to be like really, really cute, I would bring bag, but it's not necessary to bring a bag. I just put my phone on it, so it's nothing else there.
You know what?
So like a little bit.
What's so crazy about this is of the last 30 episodes, everyone is like, they try to think of an answer, even if they don't bring anything, just like how you said, but none of them have ever just been like, nope, sure wouldn't. And I love that. I love that. And I mean, that's real dedication, what you're talking about. I mean, to want to go get the watch, to not even have to carry your phone and just be so in touch with your surroundings. For one, that's good because you should always be around, aware of what's going around, going on around you, especially in New York, because it's a little crazy up there. But just the fact that like you really want to be in peace with everything and really get to enjoy your time while you're here and while you're around. I think that's crazy in a good way, of course, and a beautiful way to go about it. I'm sure it will probably unlock a lot of new things that you can paint, find new places you can paint and all kinds of things. Because me personally, when I walk, I'm definitely head down in the phone, not paying attention to nothing. So maybe I should work on that as well. But
yeah, I'm working on it so hard.
It's hard just because, like you said, I'm addicted to social media. And realistically, I am. I mean, I'm always on Twitter or Discord or something about NFTs. Mm-hmm. And they'll definitely be there whenever I'm done after my walk or my trip to the store. So maybe I should, that's like you said, the balance. I got to learn the balance. Mm-hmm. But number four, and this one might be easy for you, might be hard, but what is one thing that you want to do before you get too old?
I'm trying to live my life as I do whatever I want anyways. So there is nothing that I have on my bucket list, because when something comes up, I'm just trying to do it. Again, I guess just set my art to space, but I want it to be like a canvas or like a metal thingy, so it's more challenging. So I'm just trying to, I think, with that, create something more complicated, less achievable, more work to achieve. So yeah, I think this is it. But other than this, I'm trying to, I remember now, I want to open a nonprofit down the road to help children who don't have opportunity to, for example, buy art supplies, or don't have a good mentors in their lives. I want them to have a place where they can come and have all these things for free. So they can, if they want to paint, they have paintings. If they want to shoot something, they have all of the camera and all of the equipment. If they want to learn about NFTs, they have all of the computers and Cinema 4D stuff, and they have good mentors coming and helping them and teaching. So I want to open this type of centers. But it's, I think that's going to take a lot of work and it's going to take time. So that's definitely until I get old, hopefully, to finish.
No, I mean, for one, both of those answers were amazing. But the one where you said, the later one where you said you wanted to help, the fact that you know, realistically, yes, it's going to take some time, but you have a vision, something that you're working towards, and it don't seem like nothing's ever stopped you in the past. So I'm very anxious to see you do this and make this a reality. I definitely think it's something that we all need, not only children, but adults too, especially the youth though, because they are the ones that are going to be taking over after us and getting the right guidance and the right people to talk to you, learn things. And especially for the less fortunate who cannot go get those resources. Mm-hmm. I definitely feel like not only you, but other people will be able to bring that hopefully to the whole world. So that's a beautiful answer. I really like that one. The last one. Now, whenever I originally wrote this question, I would just say Ethereum was doing much better. So
emotional damage.
Yeah. Emotional damage. So if I gave you 200 ETH, which is like, feels like $1 billion right now. But if I gave you 200 ETH and it had to be spent on NFTs, whichever ones you want, what are some big purchases or plays that you would make personally? Now, these don't have to be for a flip. These can just be for your own personal collection, but you would have to spend the whole 200 on NFTs, whatever kind you want. Are there any in mind that you would pick up?
For the soul, I think half of it, like let's say 100, I would go to Super Rare and just healthy and find one-on-one artists and support them. And again, it's so many. I don't even want to start listing because the list just goes on and on and on. But definitely half of it would go into one-on-one art and into maybe even more than half into that artist who, as you said, being doing art before NFTs and gonna do stuff after if NFTs, God forbid, something happens. But and another, I think I would get artifacts. Fidanzas are really beautiful. NFC profile pictures. Support the cats. Cats, I love the cats.
Yeah, we love the cats.
What else? Again, there are so many projects that are trying and doing incredible job at building right now. Who else? Yeah, Fidanzas. They're, I don't know, they just like first thing that came up. But I'm sure if I'd had more time or like I opened OpenSea right now and I scroll, I'd be like,
And 200 ETH is a lot. So you can pick up a whole bunch of stuff.
I know. But I don't think I would go at this level, like buying Bored Ape at 100 ETH. I'm not going to do that. Like I would not do done that. I would go to like smaller projects. Is that a bit much for me? I don't know where. I don't have a dream to have an ETH, for example. So like this large project, I don't know.
Okay. Well, I'm not gonna lie to you. That was all five. You answered them pretty flawless. And that honestly puts us at the end of the podcast. We've been going for almost an hour, but before we wrap up officially, I do want to sneak in and say, can you please let us know where we can find your pieces? Is it Rarible? Is it OpenSea? Is it both? Is it more? Can you please let everyone listening know where we can find your pieces if we want to go buy some?
Yes. I actually gonna share something even extra here. So my very, very first piece ever created as an NFT was on Rarible. And that a physical canvas painting too. I just did like a picture of it and minted it. And it's edition of 22. And I only put it on sale on my birthday, which is on June 22nd, just for one day. And I'm going to like keep on going with it until one day this physical going to get collected. I also do not sell this physical painting any other day. It's like only open for sale, only for people who collect that NFT, only on my birthday. So that's a little something. But in general, my art is on OpenSea. I have two collections. They're called Man Lice. It's linked in my bio. They're a physical canvas plus NFT pairings. And then my fully digital collection called Lala Lens. Both of them are ongoing collections and I'm slowly adding pieces. And some of my pieces available on Nifty Gateway. So there too. Yeah. I have pieces listed on Foundation. I don't know if they're already like delisted or what's happening there. Should probably check. But yeah, that's the main links.
Hell yeah. Well, I want everyone listening to know that whenever I post this, this will probably honestly be posted later today or probably tomorrow, which is a Tuesday. So whenever you hear this, I will link it and I will also link Arena's Twitter below. And you can check her profile. She does have a link tree in her bio where you can check out her NFT collections and definitely give her a follow. Definitely reach out. She's a nice, awesome person. And honestly, I can't thank you enough for doing this episode. It's been absolutely amazing. And yeah, I can't wait for hopefully in the future, we can circle back around, talk about more stuff that you've done over the next year. And yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing everything that you do. So I cannot thank you enough for coming on. And is there anything that you want to leave the listeners with, or you can just tell them goodbye?
Drink water, stay hydrated, sleep enough. NFT is going to be still there tomorrow. Stay in balance and send messages to your loved ones that you love them. Reach out because sometimes we forget about that. And it's so important. Little messages matter so much. The end.
Okay. No, that was actually perfect. I mean, she makes some good points. So I just want to tell everybody again, thank you so much for reaching out over the last, I would say month for me and my health. Thank you so much for listening if you made it all the way through. And yeah, just hang around and check me on Twitter for more episodes every Monday. Yeah, thank you so much, everyone. And I hope everyone has a great day. I will see y'all next week. Peace out.